most popular films this summer is Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and it's a movie that belongs to a genre that goes back at least to Mary Shelley's classic Frankenstein from the 19th century, because it tells the story really of a scientist of goodwill, of good intention, who oversteps certain moral limits and invites chaos. It tells the story of Will Rodman, who's played by James Franco. Will Rodman is a high-level researcher looking into brain diseases, especially Alzheimer's. And under the aegis of a large pharmaceutical company, he's doing experimentation on monkeys and apes to see if this retrovirus can increase their intelligence. Well, of course, it does in rather remarkable ways. He takes home the young child of one of the apes he's experimenting with, and he decides to raise it and to observe his progress at close quarters. And he's shocked by the progress of this little chimpanzee, whom he names Caesar. By the time he's 3 years old, he's outstripped most of his human counterparts in mental acuity and behavior and communication, etc. We see then pretty clearly why this researcher is so interested in this business, because his father, Charles, who's played by John Lithgow, the great character actor, is suffering from Alzheimer's disease, so he's very personally involved. And as the Caesar makes this great progress, we see his father going into ever greater decline. And so at a key moment in the film, Will decides that he will actually steal some of this retrovirus from the lab, and he will use it on his father, even though it's still a very dangerous experimental drug. He uses it, and the results are immediate and stunning. His father, overnight, literally, recovers his sense of self, his connection to the wider world, even begins playing his classical piano again. So this sort of miraculous progress is made. We discover, though, pretty quickly that human beings have a very strong immune reaction to this virus, and the father, Charles, begins to deteriorate. All this time, Caesar continues to increase because the retrovirus does not have the same negative effect on apes, and he continues to increase in intelligence and all this. At the same time, he's becoming more aggressive. Now, why? Because as his intelligence deepens, he resents the fact, he chafes against the fact that he's kept cooped up inside this house and is more or less a pet. So he's becoming resentful and aggressive. And another key moment in the movie, when Charles, the father, who's deteriorating again in his Alzheimer's, gets into this sort of scuffle with a neighbor, the chimp leaves the house, he breaks out, and he attacks the man. And so they're forced to remand him to a state facility. Now, while he's there, I won't go into all the details of the plot, but while he's there, they continue to experiment on apes, and they increase in intelligence. And Caesar emerges as a leader of these animals, and he draws them into a kind of energetic and well-disciplined army. So this is going on as the retrovirus is getting out in the human population and is causing problems. So the apes are increasing as human beings decrease. Now, again, I can't go into all the details of the plot. I don't want to spoil it all for you, but suffice to say that the apes eventually break out of their confinement, and they wreak havoc all through San Francisco as they increase in power and the human beings are more compromised. So we see it setting us up for probably a whole series of sequels. But I think this movie is much more than just a well-made summer sci-fi thriller. It is that. But as I suggested earlier by mentioning Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, I think it's a movie that is telling some hard truths about the sciences, but also about the all-too-human tendency to engage in consequentialist or end-justifies-the-means reasoning. If something is worth pursuing, it's a good, then we can do anything to get it. The fact that this man, by the way, is called Will, I think is interesting, because it's very much an act of the will. He will solve his father's Alzheimer's disease. He will find the path to help millions of people who suffer from this disease. See, no one denies, no sensible person denies, that the sciences have been a great boon to us. But from the beginning of the sciences, that's where Mary Shelley comes in, from the very beginning we can see this danger of science run amok, or science untethered to legitimate moral restraints or moral constrictions. Go back to the 1930s and 40s, the Manhattan Project's going on. So some of the leading scientists in the Western world are producing a weapon which they all had to know was going to result in the deaths of countless innocent people. Now, thoughtful people at the time, including some of the scientists themselves, think of Robert Oppenheimer, were raising questions about this. Should we be doing this? We can do it. Secondly, it will solve a problem, namely Japanese imperial oppression. It'll end World War II, but should we do it? Develop a bomb that will result clearly in the deaths of countless innocent people. Now, here's a connection to today. What do you find today in the scientific community? A great interest in embryonic stem cell research. Will it result in good things? Undoubtedly. I mean, there's all sorts of diseases, including especially Alzheimer's disease. And there, I think, the connection to the Planet of the Apes is not accidental, that it's research into Alzheimer's disease that drives the plot. A lot of people today are saying, look, these diseases we can solve, we can alleviate the sufferings of millions of people, but by experimenting on embryonic stem cells. In both cases, you have people who tried and now are trying to do something intrinsically evil so as to produce some greater good. The temptation to that kind of consequentialist reasoning is endemic in the human condition, and I think it's very clearly presented in the Planet of the Apes. We will do anything we must do in order to achieve this great end. But see, when science is untethered to moral considerations, it can cause great disaster. Now, that's Mary Shelley. There's Dr. Frankenstein experimenting. We'll bring the dead back to life. And what happens is a disaster. We can end World War II. Yeah, but we did it by producing a weapon that haunts the entire planet to this day. We can end Alzheimer's. Yeah, but if the price is stem cell research that effectively puts to death innocent human beings, you will invite, in the end, disaster. Go back now to the very beginning of the Bible. Again, that endlessly fascinating story of the Garden of Eden. We find there this extraordinary permission, eat of all the trees in the garden. Well, the church fathers read that as the ground of Christian humanism. God giving the human race permission. It's politics, it's art, it's culture. Yes, it's science. In fact, Adam is presented there as kind of a first scientist as he names the animals. So all these things should flourish. But there's the great prohibition. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, do not arrogate to yourself the prerogative of determining good and evil. When you do that, then your other achievements become undermined. And we see it now in this story of the fall. When they do eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they arrogate to themselves this prerogative. What happens is a disaster for the human race. Don't read that story literalistically, but unpack its enormous symbolic power that addresses issues to this very day. Well, it seems to me that in its own kind of unique, peculiar way, this film, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, is telling much the same story.